Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. This is their second in the series on private welfare. And we're down to a section. During the break, I was adding some references to other articles. So much of this is different than what most people have accepted as Christianity. But the fact is, most people who think they're Christians are not really Christians. That they aren't really making straight the way of the Lord. They're not seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And they're not seeking to gather together with other people to be of service to those people. But they're gathering together for a lot of other reasons. Emotional support, moral support, makes them feel good, whatever. Lots of reasons. The Pharisees were gathering together. Lots of people gather together. But that's not gathering in the name of Christ unless you're coming to serve. Now, in the Old Testament, we see that Israel was to be a priest to all nations. Well, how do you do that? You know, we have this view that Israel was this particular location because so much of the Bible is telling us about Israel in that particular location during the history, you know, up till Saul and David and then on with Solomon. But then Israelites were brought into captivity and taken north, and then they came back, and then they were in captivity again, and some came back. But then in reality, Israel was all over the place. Always. They were the sea kings. They were, you know, and being on a sailing ship together, it creates a certain camaraderie because your life is always dependent upon that boat, that ship, what it does and where it goes. You have to kind of row together, and it lends itself to kingdom principles. I mean, a great deal of our principles of a Republican form of government came out of the age of pirates. Because pirates, by the very nature of their condition, they had to watch out for one another. And some of the early pirates were people that were outlawed in civil society unjustly. I mean, you read about Captain Blood and people like that. They were abused by the courts and regimes of governments. And so they became pirates. And they warred against the establishment. And that's why you ended up, you see certain governments saying, we'll give you amnesty as a pirate, but from now on you have to only be a pirate to ships of people that are against us. You can't be a pirate to our own ships. So they became privateers. And why I mention that? Well, what are we talking about? We're talking about private welfare. We're talking about private religion, because religion was welfare. All the temples, you look up our article on temples, all the temples of Rome were a part of welfare systems. Ephesus was the underwriter for welfare systems of over 127 different countries. And because they realized that, you know, one country could be absolutely devastated and it had its own system of welfare, but it couldn't meet the problems. It's kind of like New Orleans getting flooded. They had to depend upon all kinds of other cities and people all over the country to help them out. Because one area could be devastated. If you have your little congregation on one street or a couple of streets, what happens if you have a fire go through like they did in Weed and house after house gets burned? Where do you go then? You have to have that broader kingdom network. Now, if that's your only motivation, then you're not coming in the name of Christ. What you have to see is that you want to help. And there's a lot of charitable people that, you know, they want to join the Peace Corps and they want to go out and be on the missions in other countries and, you know, go help orphans in faraway countries and everything. They even pay for the privilege of going out and being of service. Well, heck, you know, we have people that need help right here. America is one of the greatest mission fields there is. You know, normally one of our ministers has been helping here with an elderly gentleman that takes a lot of care. And now he's gone on to the Missouri retreat because because both of us simultaneously had the same inclination that he needed to go. And so he's going in my stead, and now I'm taking over his role. So yesterday I was headed to Paisley early in the morning to do the finished touchings on some repair work for a widow down there. And then I came back, and as soon as I got back here, after another stop where I'm helping somebody else out, I had to run over and deal with this elderly gentleman that we've been taking care of. As soon as I got him, all bathed up, anointed with oils, cleaned up, and got him in his wheelchair, then I immediately ran out to the desert to let sheep graze in the fields. And then, while I'm there, I don't just sit around. Well, we've had people watch sheep. They just sit around on a lawn chair and read books. Well, I don't ever do that. I go out there and I work. I build fence. I tore out a deer fence around an orchard and repositioned it to go another route so that it'll be a catch pen for moving livestock through a little funnel area and up and down the hill and on and off the tractor and pulling posts and digging out wire and digging fence posts until finally, after about 7 to 8 hours, the sheep were ready to go back in. I took the sheep back in, and then I immediately ran down to, take care of the elderly gentleman again. Had to get him in his bed and change his wound bandages and empty his colostomy bag and all these things and get him dressed for bed and tucked him in. And then I came back here and worked on articles until late at night. Of course, I had been up really early in the morning before sunup. I'd been up before sunup working on this article and the new article we have coming up on governments. And why are we talking about governments? A lot of people say, well, I thought you're about religion. You're talking about government. But that's all the Bible it talks about. The Bible, Wycliffe's Bible, in the introduction, it says, this is the book for the government of the people, for the people, and by the people. That's where Abraham Lincoln got the phrase. That's that, because it's telling you how to govern yourselves. If you don't set up a system of private welfare, which we used to have through the churches, you'll create a vacuum in your society. And the government will step in, and it will create a system of welfare, but it will be public welfare. And your offerings will not be free will offerings anymore. They will be forced offerings. And you'll make the word of God to none effect, and you'll lose the blessing of God. God will not hear you, and you will not hear him. You will have blind guides. They will not see. You'll have, perversions. Abuse of the natural use of man and woman. You're going to have that. It's a byproduct of your welfare system, of your socialism. Socialism is a forced system of welfare. Public school is welfare. Madison was against using public schools except for absolute indigent people. He would not to use public funds to provide education except for absolute indigent people. And many of the private schools set up areas where they would provide for the poor. You could get a Harvard education and not pay any tuition whatsoever if you were poor. And that was available to anybody who could keep up their grades. And when you graduated, you didn't have $150,000 student loan to pay off. Student loans is an absolute insane idea. It is driven up the cost of education because everybody got these loans and they're just borrowing the money, but you have to pay it back, not the school. So the school is getting the money for free, and so the cost of education went up. It's kind of like medical. You think if there was no forced medical insurance or medical insurance or the fear-driven medical insurance system, that medicine would cost as much as it does? No, it wouldn't. Yeah, but one of the things in taking care of this elderly gentleman, they see these vast improvements. He'd been in the care of doctors for years, and he just got worse and worse and worse. Now he's getting better and better and better. And somebody was just asking me yesterday, he says, well, why is that? I was speechless. Because for half the week, the church is taking care of him. We would actually have more progress if the other half of the week, the state wasn't taking care of him. State has offered us money for taking care of him, but we won't take it. We won't take money from the state because we have to live by faith, hope, and charity. We're the church. We cannot. Our gifting would be spotted by the world if we accepted funds from the state for doing what is our religious obligation. Now, this elderly gentleman isn't even within our congregations, but he's probably the closest thing to a Christian in our valley. Now, there may be other people, but the jury's still out on that. But most of the people who go to church don't even understand church. They don't understand the gospel. They don't understand what the gospel is all about. They don't understand the ways of Christ. They think visiting the sick is coming by and talking for a half an hour or an hour. Isn't that crazy? That's insane. Was that the daily ministration? The apostle says, look out amongst yourselves and find men that are really good at talking to sick people. No. Men you trust. Why? Because they were going to be the priests of a system. Now that, you know, Stephen and them, they weren't necessarily going to be out there changing the bedpans, but they were going to handle the finances. Because they knew they needed a kingdom way to do this because some people were being neglected. They need to get organized. But it was private religion because the funding was still completely 100% in the hands of the individual people. They had to choose their ministers wisely. Give to them. Find out what they're doing, how they're doing it. This is the way the Levites operated. Levites were not appointed from the top down. You chose to give to the Levite. You chose to gather together with this 10-family congregation. The power of choice, the exousia, was in your hands. You were the state. There were no kings and priests because you were all kings and priests. Now, there were priests in the Levites, but they only were priests by your choice. You chose them because you saw them as men of service. You chose them. And you supported them. And if they weren't men of service, you stopped supporting them. And you will keep your government pure. Service. But if you choose to exercise authority, you know, people talk about, I mean, the Bible talks about beasts all the time. And all the beasts that they talk about are clearly in prophecy governments. And so how does a government get to be a beast? Because the Levites were a government, but they don't refer to the Levites as a beast because they were dependent upon free will offerings. They were dependent upon charity, a network of charity that supported them on a national basis because every Levite had another minister who was a Levite. And so they were all connected. And they worked together to serve the people in pure religion. And that pure religion bound them together. Not because they all use the same calendar or because of this, that. The Israelites used all three calendars. They used a sidereal calendar. This is why there's such a controversy. Everybody says, well, which calendar? Because I find evidence that these guys were using a solar calendar. And I find evidence that these guys were using a lunar calendar. And yet the seamen were using a sidereal calendar. So who's using what calendar? They're using all of them. Feasts were figured by a lunar calendar so that it would end up on a full moon, because people stay up late during feasts. But planting, it was dependent upon, well, to a great deal, it was dependent upon a solar calendar. They may look to references of a lunar calendar, but it's basically the seasonal markings of a solar calendar. But if you're going to be at sea, you're going to want a sidereal calendar. And we find evidence of that all over the place in history. Because the Israelites were the sea kings. And they traveled everywhere. The innovations that they came up with when they were operating according to the leading of the Holy Spirit, which is what automatically takes place when you start seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Yeah, another problem with our, like the work I did yesterday, I probably overdid it a little bit yesterday. Pretty long hours. I mean, I had 12 hours of work in by 4 o'clock, almost 4:30. Our valley is filled with smoke because the government is doing controlled burns up in the forest. And sometimes it gets thick. You can't even hardly see. It's so smoky. But if you want to have a fire in your house, they want you to get permits. But anyway... Strange. Let's look at some more of this under priests and kings. So if they were supposed to be priests and kings, all nations knew that the care of the afflicted was essential to create the bonds of society. By taking care of those needy, and the manner in which you did this will help bind society together. Well, that only is true. Those bonds are only free bonds. That they will only hold up in disastrous times when those bonds are based on love and honor. If those bonds are based on contract, then those bonds have to be enforced, because they're not based on love for one another. They're based on what you agreed to, some covenant or contract or league you've made with people. So to aid in a fallen comrade in arms or in life has always been a social obligation of honor. But Cain, Lamech, Nimrod, pharaohs, and Caesars of the world, they had another system based on contract. That's why we're told in the Ten Commandments to make no covenants with them nor with their gods, with the inhabitants of the lands where we go. Because it is well known, if we're going to be priests to all nations, we're not going to be centralized in one physical place. We're going to be in a lot of places, because we have to go to all nations and show them that faith, hope, and charity works better than force. They're not going to want to hear this, and that's why they eventually outlawed private welfare in Rome around 200 AD with Saturninus. They outlawed private religion, which is private welfare. And you had to join one of the temples. We see that already taking place in America. You have to get health care, which is private public religion. It's how you're going to take care of the needy of your society, through health care. You have to do that. Because you don't even know that that's what they're doing. They're outlawing private religion. Now, they didn't really outlaw private religion, because the Amish are exempt, because they were actually taking care of one another already. Good Samaritans, they're exempt, because they were taking care of the needy already. Now, they're not quite totally charity, and they're not totally kingdom, but there's more kingdom tracks there than there is in your modern Methodist, Baptist, Catholic, Presbyterian churches. Because they are like the leaders of the Gentiles who exercise authority. The pastors don't, but if you have any need, they have no daily ministration in those churches, so you have to go to the men who do have a daily ministration, and those guys exercise authority. So you're still going to the Cains and Lamechs and Nimrods, and like we said in the last show, Nimrod, mighty hunter before the Lord, which is the particular word hunter there. And I actually said something wrong. I said that nowhere else is that translated hunter. It actually is translated hunter a few times. It's actually the word siad. And but most of the time it's translated something like provision or victuals or venison. It's some sort of provision, food. Only three times it's translated hunter. And, you know, that twice in Genesis and once in Proverbs. And it has to do with provisions, your welfare. And Nimrod was a mighty provider instead of God. And that's how he got his power. Because if you want his provision, you had to sign up and agree to serve him. To bow down and serve him. That's what Pharaoh was. He's a mighty provider. I mean, the people found themselves without any grain and they were going to starve. Now, they wouldn't have found themselves that way, but they had been jealous and envious of their brother and sold them into bondage. And so they went into bondage. But some people say, well, God wanted them to go into bondage because then they would save them in the famine. Wait a minute. If he had told his brothers, they could have put up the funds. They could have put up 7 years of good crops and grain. They could have stored it, and Egypt would have had to come to them. But they didn't know it was coming because they had betrayed their brother who was put amongst them to be a prophet. And times are coming, you know, we've had shows on grain. I mean, grain, the shortage of grain is what helped Caesar's rise to power. But when I was working on grain farms back in the 60s in North Dakota, there was 6 years' supply of grain on the farms for this nation in bins. Now you can actually go on eBay and find people selling those bins to turn them into vacation homes because they're all empty. There isn't 30 days' supply of grain in the world to meet world needs today. We're talking a worldwide famine. Slight change in climate could bring about a worldwide famine from which millions, maybe billions of people would die in that famine. Men who seek power would rise to power over everybody. And that back to that idea of beasts. Where do the, you know, if you watch some of these, I don't know if they're adventure shows or scary shows or ghost shows, they always have some sort of beast that is like made up of like a locust or something, you know, and all the bugs come together and they make this beast up. I think they had it in Constantine. And it's all these little bugs, biting bugs, that come together and make this monster. That's what the beasts are in the biblical text. It's all you being little monsters, biting one another, wanting to take from your neighbor. You want your welfare. You want your benefit. You want it now. You want it at the expense of your neighbor, and you don't care if it hurts him or not. You want it now. You paid into your Social Security. You paid into your welfare. You want it now. You don't care the fact that it's putting you farther and farther into debt. You blame fiscal responsibility on your president. It's you. It's you who is not fiscally responsible. And you know, Sabbath, that's about being fiscally responsible. It's not about a day. It's about doing the work, earning the day off, earning the rest, because you did the work first. You didn't take the time off and then owe the work. That's the Sabbath. But that's not what you're doing. You want your public school. Everybody who sends their kids to public school is putting their child deeper and deeper into debt, because nobody who sends their kids to public school, probably, I mean, there might be a rare exception, but generally speaking, they don't pay enough taxes to provide that education. So they're putting their child into debt. People talk about, you know, we have several articles up on that, you know, Norway, free education, and different countries, free education, and they'll actually even pay you to continue your education. But those children are born $50,000 to $60,000 in debt. because their fathers and their grandfathers didn't keep the Sabbath. They wanted their benefit now. We'll pay for it later. So they curse their children with covetous practices. We have articles to show you that's exactly what Peter was talking about. That's exactly what you're doing. Yet you call yourself a Christian. I'm embarrassed for you. You're not Christians. All those who know the Lord should know that God wants you to care for the needy by love, and there is no love without choice. The right to choose is the liberty endowed by God. God's way has always been by free will offerings, by charity, through a network of national servants like the Levites. Or like the church, the ministers of the church. The days of Moses and were an essential item for the awakening of all nations throughout the world, because they saw a nation absolutely working by faith, hope, and charity. We'll tell you more about this and why Alexander the Great bowed down to the Levites when we return to Keys of the Kingdom. So welcome back. So always the Levites were operating with charity, free will offerings. They also, the idea that the Holy Spirit only came to us at the time of Jesus Christ is not really true either. Enoch walked with God. Now, Jesus was certainly bringing in an access to the Holy Spirit by the revelation of God, and needed to go away so that that Holy Spirit would begin to dwell in the apostles and the ministers that they anointed. I don't think we have a very clear picture of how powerful these men were, able to heal sometimes just simply with the shadow, not even touching somebody. The Spirit was flowing through them in a very powerful, powerful way. That's not happening today with ministers. Most of the ones you see out there that jumping around doing their thing with supposedly slaying people in the Holy Spirit, it's all emotionalism. It's hypnosis. It's draining people. It's taking the energy out of one group and putting it into another with disastrous consequences. But the Levites of Moses, let's just read a few things. Genesis 18:18, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Right away, even Abraham was somehow or other to bless all nations. How is he going to do this? Well, we say because of Jesus Christ coming, etc., etc. But what exactly, how does that blessing come about in a real, fruitful way? Genesis 22:18. And in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So what is the seed of Abraham? It's faith. What is lived by faith is obeying the voice of God. It can make, sons of Abraham out of these very stones. It's not about the seed in your loins, it's the seed in your heart. Just the same as it's not about circumcision of the flesh, but a circumcision of the heart. But we have black hearts, selfish hearts. Well, that's because we don't know Christ. Christ cannot dwell in a selfish heart. Cannot do it. Will not do it. Genesis 26:4. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give in unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. Again, all nations. Yet somebody says the Bible's not about government? Well, certainly. What's blessing them? The way of God. Deuteronomy 14:2. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all nations that are upon the earth. Above all nations. Above in what way? You're going to rule over them with an exercising authority and send out, Gestapo and police and all that kind of stuff? No. That's not what it's about. Not what it's about at all. Even looking up the word peculiar there and understanding what they mean, that will be a mission for another show. Deuteronomy 26:18. The Lord hath avouched thee this day to be his peculiar people, as he hath promised thee, and that thou shouldst keep all his commandments, which Jesus said to do. If you want eternal life, he said, keep the commandments. And to make thee high above all nations, which he hath made in praise, and in name, and in honor, and that thou mayest be a holy people unto the Lord God, as he hath spoken. That's not what I see Christianity doing today. They're very much of the world. They're not just in the world. They're of the world. They survive by living of the world. They pray to the benefactors of the world to get their benefits. And they force their neighbor to contribute to their welfare. That's not Christ. That's not the way of Christ. You're going to have to decide whether you're going to repent, start gathering together to serve, or you're going to continue to play religion. Deuteronomy 28:1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. Now, what does it mean to do all his commandments? Now, are you going to take those commandments and turn them into religious rituals, forgetting the spirit that they are coming to you in, the message that they are trying to give you? You know, eating pork is about a spiritual eating pork. Now, yeah, there could be physical disadvantages to eating pork if you lived in Canaan, because the pigs there were racked with parasites, and the people were racked with parasites, and it could poison your system by eating any of the, even touching the feces of those pigs, you know, walking in the streets and then not washing your feet and hands to make before you eat. You had to do that because you would be contaminated physically by the parasites. But really, the message is about this devouring one another. Pigs will eat one another. Somebody just got tried in Oregon because they had killed two people and fed them to their pigs because their pigs needed food. And they thrown them into their pigs. So the message in the statutes of Moses is trying to explain to you so that you understand the principles of the Spirit. Are you giving life? Are you gathering because you want to give life? Are you gathering because you want to get something out of it? If the church helps you, will you pay the church back when you get back on your feet, so that they will have funds to help the next guy? Because if you don't pay him back, then you don't really care about your neighbor. You took the funds, but you didn't try to pay them back. Now, if you can't ever pay them back, so be it. There's no requirement that you pay them back. In spirit, there is. That when you're able, you will pay them back so that they have funds to help the next guy. You know, it's the pass it forward concept. You have to give back. Now, is it a dollar and cents thing? No, you may give them back in some other way. And you may have to sacrifice in order to pay them back. But you should, because it's paying it forward, because they're in the business of helping others, and by you giving back to them, they'll have the means by which to do that. Deuteronomy 31. And it shall come to pass, when all these things are come upon thee, the blessings and the curse which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations, whether the Lord thy God hath driven thee. Is that's what I'm telling you about. Is the nations of the world today are driven by the spirit of bondage, the spirit of control, spirit of force, the spirit of I want what I want and I want it now. And so what are you going to get? You're going to get beast nations. And the people that promote the socialism and promote the unnatural use of man and woman, or the unnatural use of family, the unnatural use of contracts, they're just going to want to devour you. If you talk about living by charity, they're going to hate you. They are already outlawing in spirit private religion. They're making it more and more difficult for a church to remain free under Christ. Most churches aren't. Most churches are corporations of the state. Many churches want to receive benefits. Most of the churches, the ministers, all depend upon benefactors who exercise authority to obtain their welfare. I know a minister who was minister all his life, and he's retired. He only gets Social Security now. Churches are done with him. They don't want to provide anything for him. Lifetime of service. He has no body of Levites to take care of his elderly. He's just on his own. Well, he hasn't been preaching the kingdom. Of course, he wasn't taught it when he was in school. He was actually one of those preachers that were at the meeting where I said, what did Jesus list as the weightier matters? And not one of the preachers there could name them. You know, if Jesus says it's the weightier matters, you think a minister would have that memorized. But they didn't even know it. They had all kinds of quotes in the Bible memorized. All you have to do is believe. You don't have to do anything. And I says, well, Jesus says, if you want eternal life, you have to keep the commandments. Oh, no, you don't have to do that. Just believe now. You don't have to keep the commandments. Sure, you try to keep the commandments, but you don't have to keep the commandments. Wow, cool. You talk about your strong delusion. But the church was in the same boat. You know, we saw in Psalm 67:2 that thy way may be known upon the earth, thy saving health among all nations. All nations would benefit the more and more they operate by faith, hope, and charity. The more and more they give the choice back to the people to take care of one another, stronger the nations will become. But there is an element in every nation, the progressive socialists, who do not want you to go back. They want to continue to force their neighbor to contribute. I paid in, they need to pay in. There's no forgiveness in them. Neither will they be forgiven. And when destruction comes, God will not hear them. Now, if you want God to hear you, you need to turn around and start seeking the ways of Christ, the real ways. Start going in the way. Matthew 24:14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. They haven't been preaching the gospel of the kingdom. They've been preaching the gospel of churchianity. The feel-good gospel. Just think and you shall be saved. Just say, Lord, Lord, and you will be saved. Don't have to be doer of the word. What? You know, now I'm not saying, I can hear some of you thinking, he's saying that we're saved by works. No, I'm not saying you're saved by works. I'm saying if there are no works of righteousness, that is evidence that you're not really saved. You haven't really accepted Christ. If Christ was in you, I couldn't stop you from doing good works. There was nothing I could do to hold you back because Christ is in you, for God's sakes. But if Christ is not in you, you'll find all kinds of reasons. Well, that's not my job. That's the government's job. I don't have to do this. That guy sounds like the Pope. I don't have to listen to him. I don't have to gather with anybody. We got our little congregation, you know. And besides, he doesn't keep the right calendar, or he doesn't wear a prayer shawl, or the fringe on his shawl is too long, or, you know, come on, stop being so goofy. Do you love your neighbor as yourself? Are you taking care of the needy of your society by faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty? It's that simple. If you're not doing that, you don't know Christ. Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Teach them. Baptizing them in the name of the Father. The character of the Father. Are they givers of life or are they takers? Well, most of the nations, they operate by force. They're takers. And if you depend upon their benefits, you're a taker too. You're one of those little bugs that make the monster. You know, you're one of the little cells within the beast. Because you're a beast. You take a bite out of your neighbor. You don't come together to serve, to sacrifice, to lay down your life. You got your religion. You're saved in your mind. Unfortunately, your mind's going to be in hell. You know, whatever that is. And I want you, a lot of you drew pictures of what you think that's like. It's probably not right. But it will seem like hell. So are you coming in and being baptized in the name of the Father and the Son? The Father and the Son are one? Holy Spirit are one. If you've received the Holy Spirit, I couldn't stop you from doing those good works. Mark 13:10. And the gospel must first be published amongst all nations. Now that word published, we could look into that. But most of your churches are not really... You know, the gospel was called the gospel of the kingdom. The good news gospel, good news of the kingdom. And the good news of the kingdom is within your reach. It's at hand. You know, all you people who think that all the kingdom was postponed because the Jews didn't accept Christ, bunk. All the apostles were Jews. They accepted Christ. Those tens of thousands of people, the 3,000 one day, 5,000 the next, which are actually probably representing families, the number is, being baptized, they were Jews, and they were accepting Christ. And those are just in a couple of days. So, yeah, the Jews accepted Christ. The Jews that turned their back on Moses, didn't know Moses, said they had no king but Caesar, they didn't accept Christ. You can't tell who the... This is why they're warning you about genealogies. You know, you got me concerned because you're trying to say, well, is he a bloodline Jew? Is he a bloodline Jew? The church is Israel. I took the kingdom away, Christ. I'm taking the kingdom away from this guy, these Jews, these Israelites, and I'm going to give it to these Israelites. And how did he take the kingdom away? Out of their own mouth, they said, we're leaving the kingdom of Israel and we have no king but Caesar. They're out. Now, any of those Jews, any of the descendants of the Jews, wherever they're at, whether they're in Israel or, you know, up in Poland or wherever they're at, if they will repent and seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, in other words, try to come together in faith, hope, and charity, not force and violence upon one another, then they can too become a part of Israel, which is the church, the place where God prevails. Now, when I say church is Israel, which church? The Roman church, the Episcopalian church, the Baptist church? Probably none of those. But still in those places, all those churches that are of the world now, although the Roman church, they got a clever deal going there. I mean, they're the only recognized nation in the world that is not a member of the United Nations. Yet the Pope gets to speak in the United Nations. That's clever. But are they preaching the gospel of the kingdom? Are they showing people, or are they keeping it a secret, that you need to be seeking the righteousness of God by taking care of one another in a daily ministration of love and not force? Luke 12:30, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. So he's talking about, you know, food and raiment and all this stuff. And what did John the Baptist say about food and raiment? That if you have two coats, share. If you have any extra, share. Are you giving? Because if you're not giving, Christ is not going to grow in you. You need to be giving of your life so that you may have life more abundant. And it may come in a different form. You may not get riches, but you may be able to lay your hands on somebody and heal them. You know, the healing thing, there's a price to pay. It's expensive on your personal being. You know, you have to get rid of your own delusions and lack of love. John 21:17. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Is your church feeding the sheep? Or do they have somebody else feeding the sheep? The spiritual kingdom, yes. The kingdom is within you. That's where it begins. But if it's within you, why don't we see the kingdom in the works of your hands? You're not following the ways of Christ. You're not following the ways of the early church. You, all you Jews out there, you're not doing what the Levites did. It was one of the major jobs of the Levites to attend to the business of social welfare. And those who have the heart of God would easily see this in the biblical text. Deuteronomy 14:27. And the Levites that is within thy gates thou shalt not forsake, for he that hath no part nor inheritance with thee, at the end of 3 years thou shalt bring forth all the tithe of thine increase and the same year, and shalt lay it up within thy gates. And the Levite, because he hath no part nor inheritance with thee, and the stranger and the fatherless and the widows which are within thy gates shall come and shall eat and be satisfied, that the Lord thy God may bless thee and all the works of thine hands which thou doest. The following verses talk of the 7-year release. Are you doing that? You have your feasts. Are you doing that? You have to give so that God will bless you. Now, you get to decide who to give to. I don't care who you give to. You can send it to the Pope if you want. If that's your choice, go ahead. But you need to give to receive the blessings of God. You need to lay down your life so that he can give you life more abundant. And right now, you're starving for righteousness. You are dry bones. You need to turn around and start acting upon that which God has already revealed to you so that he may reveal more. Because even many of you who are beginning to see the truth, there's a lot more truth to see. A lot more. An infinite amount of truth. Deuteronomy 16:10. And thou shalt keep the feasts of weeks unto the Lord thy God with a tribute of a freewill offering of thine hands, which thou shalt give unto the Lord thy God, according to the Lord thy God hath blessed thee. And thou shalt rejoice before the Lord thy God, thou and thy sons and thy daughters and thy manservants and the maidservants and the Levite that is within thy gates, and the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow that are among you in the place which the Lord thy God hath chosen to place his name there. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt, and thou shalt observe and do these statutes. What's he talking about? And people say the Bible's not about government. Who does that today? Who takes care of the widows and orphans of today? Hey, that's your government. That's your church. That's your religion. That's who you look to. That's who you pray to for your benefits. I didn't get around to it, but we'll talk about it more in another show. But eventually we show you in the Talmud, I mentioned in the first show, that, yeah, this is what the Levites were doing. Charity. This was a whole nation run by charity. Unless you're doing that, no wonder you don't know Christ. Until then, may peace be upon your house, and may God be with you. God bless.